Shavua Tov, Rabotai. We are studying Sefer Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. Zechuto Yagen Alenu, Amen. We are tonight going to start a new chapter. We're going to read Mizmor Mem Het, chapter 48. This chapter over here talks about the return of the Jewish people, Be'ezrat Hashem, when Mashiach comes, after the war of Gog and Magog, where the Jewish people are going to be returned to the city of Jerusalem, and there's going to be a new energy and vitality that Borei Olam is going to put in the city of Jerusalem and in the souls of Klal Yisrael. You're going to be familiar with this chapter. This is the Mizmor that we read on Mondays. It's the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Sheni. There's a reason why we read it on Monday. Hachamim tell us that amongst the different things that were created on the Monday of creation, one of the things that were created was machloket, divisiveness. If you look in the Torah on Monday, it says God separated between the upper waters and the lower waters. Before that, the waters were united. The first mention of a havdalah, of a separation, of a division, was on Monday. And that's when mahloket, the root of all divisive behavior, was created on that day. As a matter of fact, the Gemara Shabbat says that anybody that's born on a Monday will be a divisive person. I know you're all thinking now, well, you're born on a Monday, obviously it has to be at a certain time, and a certain mazal, but that's the mazal of Yom Sheni. That's why it's interesting to note that the chapter begins, Shir Mizmor Libne Korach. Korach was the Baal Mahloket against Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's befitting that the Shir Shel Yom Sheni should have some mention of Korach in it, because the roots of his machloket came from Yom Sheni, from the day that God separated the Mayim Elyonim to the Mayim Tachtonim. And the tradition is that, according to the Zohar HaKadosh, Korach's sons composed this chapter when they were in the pit. And this is what they said right before the ledge protruded out of the pit, and they jumped up on the ledge and they got saved. So this was written by Bnei Korach during the heat of the Mahloket between their father and Moshe Rabbeinu. And it said on Monday, because that's when division was created, therefore Korach is mentioned on Monday. The Gemara Pesachim writes that in all the days of creation it says Kitov. On Monday, it doesn't say Kitov. After God created, it says, Vayar Elohim, Kitov. Kitov, it was good, it was good. On Monday, it's not Kitov. The simple interpretation is, Mahloket. It can never be good. But the Gemara Pesachim writes, because on Monday, that's when the fire of Gehinnom was created. So if we cannot say Kitov. Anyway, that's the appropriate song for the second day of the week. That's why we mention it. Now, the Mizmor begins, Shir Mizmor Libne Korach. Now we have a rule in Tehillim. Sometimes the Tehillim begins with Mizmor. Here, it begins with Shir Mizmor. Sometimes it's Mizmor Shir. Whenever there's a double language to introduce the chapter, like in this Shir Mizmor, it's a significant chapter. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, or Mizmor Shir, double language, that's an important. Like Shir HaShirim HaShir B'Shlomo, or Shir HaShirim, double, that's already Kodesh Kadashim. So right away from the first two words of the Perek, it indicates to us that it's a very significant Perek. Shir Mizmor Libne Korach. That's the Zohar HaKadosh and HaHaremot. Gadol Adonai umhullal meod be'ir Eloheinu har kodesho. We know that as long as the Jewish people are in Galut, so it says God's name is not complete and God's chair is incomplete. God's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the manifestation of God. However, in Galut, as long as the temple is not rebuilt, God's name is minimized to Yud Kei. It's missing, so to speak, Vav Kei. God's chair is incomplete. God's chair is Kiseh. But the Kiseh is missing an Aleph. Hence, it's only a kiss. Kiyad al kesya milchama ladonai ba'amalek mendor dor. Until we make that ultimate war against Amalek, the final war of the end all wars. So it's kiyad al kesya. It's only yud ke. Kiyad al kes. It's only a kiss. It's not a kiseh. And that's what the pasuk is saying over here. Gadol Adonai umulal meod. When is God going to be gadol? When is Yudke Vavke going to become Gadol? Now it's Katan, Kivyachol, it's only Yudke. Gadol Adonai. When is it going to be Gadol? Bi'ir Eloheinu Har Kodesho. Bi'ir Eloheinu, when the city of God is going to be rebuilt, and not only the city of God, but Har Kodesho, the mountain of God, Har Siyon, where the temple is going to be rebuilt, then already the name of God is going to become Gadol. Like we say in the Kaddish, Yitkadal. Yitkadal. We want God's name, Yah, Yudke, to become Gadol. Gadol Adonai Mulal Me'od. What is that? Be'ir Eloheinu Har Kodesho. Recently we said over a Hiddush on this. It's worthy to repeat. We say in the Tefillah every day, Hu Kayam. Ushmo kayam, v'chiso nachon. Hu kayam, ushmo kayam, v'chiso nachon. What are the three letters that are missing today as we are in Galut? In Yudke, we're missing Vavke. So you have Vav he missing. Instead of Kiseh, we have Kes. That's an Aleph. So the letters that are missing are He, Vav, Aleph. Which spells the word Hu. So we say in the Tefillah, Hu Kayam. When the Hu is going to be Kayam, when the letters Evav Aleph, then Ushmo Kayam. Then the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Kayam. Yud Kei Vav Kei. V'chis O Nachon. And the chair will be also good. And that's also the Mefarshim say in a special Beracha. When is all this going to happen? That the chair is going to be complete and God's name is going to be complete? Be'azat Hashem, when Eliyahu Navi comes. The name Eliyahu has the letters Aleph, Lamed, Yud, He, Vav. Which is Otiyot, Li, Hu. Eliyahu Navi is saying, Li, Hu. I have the ability to bring the Hu. When Eliyahu Navi reveals himself as at Hashem, then the letters Hu, He, Vav, Aleph will be put back where they belong. The Vav, He to Yudke, and the Aleph to Kiseh. So Eliyahu is Li, to me, Hu. That's why when we say the special prayer, Harahaman Hu Yishlach Lanu, את אליהו הנביא זכו לטוב ויבשר לנו בשורות טובות ישועות ונחמות. So we can explain this beracha as follows. הרחמן הוא, period. הרחמן, please have mercy on the three letters who, הו, Aleph. And how do you have mercy? ישלח לנו את אליהו הנביא. How do you have mercy on the who?
by sending us Li Hu, by sending us the one that has the Hu. And who's that? Eliyahu Nabi. And then we basilanu besirot yishuot v'nehamot. So that's what it means over here. Gadol Adonai umulal meod v'yair Eloheinu ar kodesh. The next pasuk. Yefe nof mesos kol ha'ares har Sion yarkete safon kriyat melech rav. First thing we have to explain is the first two words, which there's an abundance of commentary. Just to explain what the word Nof means. Jerusalem is called Yefe Nof, or Eretz Israel. It has a good Nof. So Ibn Ezra explained Nof as to mean a good section, or it's a good district, specifically referring to the air quality of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Avira de Eretz Yisrael machkim. Even the air of Eretz Yisrael is machkim. That's Gemara Bava Batra. So therefore, Yefeh Nof, it's a great district, better than any other district in the world. The climate does not have an adverse effect on a person's health in Eretz Yisrael. Yefeh Nof. Another interpretation that she quotes, Nof, is a branch. It's referring to Harazetim. Zayit is an olive that comes from a branch. So Yefeh Nof is referring to the good branch, the branch of the olive of Harazetim, which symbolizes the fertility and the abundance of Eretz Yisrael. But if Nof means a branch, we can explain it according to the introduction that the Ramban gives on the Torah. Famous introduction. The Ramban says that every area in the world has a specific properties to grow certain fruit, spices, products, depending on the climate, depending on the soil. For example, in Colombia, besides drugs, they have coffee beans. Colombian coffee. Can it hear that there's something about the soil and the climate that they can make coffee in Colombia? If they would try to do it somewhere else, it wouldn't go. And everything is like that. Every country is known. A person who loves bananas, he cannot plant bananas in his backyard in New York because you need a certain climate to grow bananas. So you have to be in Panama or wherever they grow bananas. So the Ramban writes that Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom had tremendous wisdom. Part of his wisdom was that he knew the following. All the beracha of the world comes from Eretz Yisrael. Any blessing that you see in Colombia, the wires could be traced back to somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. He knew exactly the spiritual wiring of Eretz Yisrael, and he knew the spot in Eretz Yisrael that connects to Colombia, and he went to that spot and planted coffee. And he went to the spot that's connected Panama and he planted bananas. And he went to the spot that's connected hot peppers, connected there, Mexico, whatever, each one according to their item. That means Eretz Yisrael is the root of all beracha. But when now, once there's destruction in Eretz Yisrael, all the aratzot become destroyed. Because today, if they're able to produce something in a far-off country, it's only because Eretz Yisrael is giving them that kedusha, or that ability. So, the greatness of Shlomo HaMelech was, he didn't have to go all the way to Colombia. He could go a couple of miles out, he looks at the soil, this is where it is, he looked under the ground, he knows this is the roots, the coffee roots. And that's what the pasuk means, Yefeh Nof. The branches of Eretz Yisrael are strong in the sense that wherever you are in a location, it's fertile for a different product. Yefeh Nof.
Some explain, that she brings down, that Jerusalem is as beautiful as a bride. Yefeh nof. In Greek, the word nymph is a bride. And therefore nof, he says, comes from the Greek nymph. And therefore yefeh nof. Jerusalem is as beautiful as a bride. Others explain yefeh nof, melashon hanafa, elevation. Lanif. Tirufa is to elevate. Like they would wave the omer, they would lift it and raise it. Yefeh nof, anybody that would go to Jerusalem becomes elevated. You go to the Beit HaMikdash, it spiritually elevates. Yefeh nof, it is a beautiful elevation. Another interpretation, nof comes from the word nofet sufim. Nofet sufim is the sweet nectar that comes from the fruit. Yefeh nof, which means the fruits of Jerusalem are yefeh nof, are sweet. The spirituality that it has to offer is sweet. Others explain, it's amazing, one word nof, you have a whole list of interpretations. Others explain that the most desirable city in Egypt was called Nof. It's Memphis. Not Memphis, Tennessee. I was in Memphis, Egypt. They had a big Abu Dazar over there. It's one of the big images of one of the big kings over there. Big giant pesil lying down like a King Tut of some sort. So we went to see it. You're not missing anything. And I don't know why it's one of the most beautiful cities, but I guess one time it was. So it's coming to say the pasuk, the mem and the nun, let's say, are interchangeable. So it's saying Yefeh Nof, it's even prettier than Memphis. Yefeh Nof. Yerushalayim is even prettier than the prettiest city of Mitzrayim. That's the Midrash explains that. Okay. Mesos kol ha'aretz. Now literally, Mesos kos, the joy of all the earth. Why is Jerusalem the joy of all the earth? Mesos kol ha'aretz. Because it's the only place on earth where you can get kapara v'avonot. When a person commits a sin, he's thrown into depression. Because he has avon on his record. And he wants to erase it. But in the olden days, the only way you can erase a sin, you had to go Yerushalayim. You had to bring a korban. And the korban would be mechaper. So always in Jerusalem, everybody was happy. Because the people in Yerushalayim had no sins. Because they were able to go to the Beit HaMikdash. And they say, Mesos kol ha'aretz. Jerusalem was the city of happiness. Because it absolved everyone from their sins. And that's why it says, Mesos kol ha'aretz, har Sion yarkete safon. In the Beit HaMikdash, when you would bring a korban hatat, which side of the mizbeach would a person stand when he brings korban hatat? Korban hatat is brought on the tzafon. And therefore the pasuk is saying, Mesos kol ha'aretz. Where is the source of the simcha? Har Sion yarkete safon, on the north side of the Mizbeah, where the Mizbeah was, that's where they brought the Korban Hatat. That's where the Simha came from the north side of the Mizbeah. Now, there is a Gemara Kedushin, we just learned it on that Memtet. The Gemara says 10 measures of beauty came down to the world. Yerushalayim took 9 of those measures, and the rest of the world took the other measure. That's how beautiful, according to the Gemara, Yerushalayim is. The Gemara Bava Kama, we'll get to it, Bezat Hashem, says that the Hachamim went to great effort to keep the beauty of Yerushalayim, and they made takanot in order to preserve its beauty. For example, no garbage dumps were allowed within the city. No large ovens or kilns, because that would cause black smoke and that would cause the top of the walls to become blackened. No rose gardens or orchards were allowed in Yerushalayim for 2 reasons. They were concerned that the people are going to throw their weeds and undesirable parts into the streets, and they didn't want the city to smell from the fertilizer that the people are going to put. And therefore, Yefenof Mesos Kol Ha'aretz, that a beauty, and Achamim went to great pain to preserve the beauty of Yerushalayim. Kiryat Melech Rav. Kiryat Melech Rav, it is indeed the Kiryat Melech, it is the palace of Melech Rav, of the great king. That's God. Interesting, here he quotes from a Midrash. There was no melancholiness or depression in the city of joy of Jerusalem. The Midrash says that outside of Yerushalayim, might be a good idea for today, outside of Yerushalayim there was a large rock. The rock was called Kippah Shel Heshbonot. That's the rock of calculations. Anytime a person wanted to ponder his economic status, we don't do that in Yerushalayim. We don't want a person to think how many bills he owes and how much money he has outstanding, otherwise he'll go crazy and he'll be sad. So they could go outside. We have a special rock over there. That's where all the people go think about their bills, what they have to pay, and therefore they kept Yerushalayim free of anguish. It was not tolerated. Good. Next pasuk. Elohim be'armenoteha noda lemizgav. What does that mean? When God comes back to his palace, noda lemizgav, then already we will see the strength and the greatness of Yerushalayim. Ki hinei ha'melachim noadu averu yachdav. Ki hinei ha'melachim, that's referring to Gog u'Magog. The kings assembled. Kinei melachim noadu, the kings assembled to attack Jerusalem. Averu yagdav. They passed over it. That's what's going to happen. The final war is going to be over Eretz Yisrael, and specifically Yerushalayim. We don't know anything, but you see, every historical move is to that end. Everything that happens in current events is to create the positions on the chessboard that everybody should be in the right position, so when God's ready for that great war, everything will be towards Yerushalayim. That might be a reference to the United Nations. They assemble, the great assembly as they call it. And what's their assembly? Averu Yardav. They have one mission in the United Nations. How could they take over Yerushalayim? And how could they, Hashem Shalom, destroy Eretz Yisrael? Hemara'u kentamahu. When the Gog u'Magog and the Goyim are going to attack Yerushalayim, there's going to be great miracles. Borei Olam is going to make great miracles for Klal Yisrael and even the Goyim. Hemara'u kentamahu. They're going to be shocked. They're going to be in wonder. The armies of Gog and Magog are not going to believe the miracles that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. Re'ada achazatam sham. They are going to be terrified. Re'ada achazatam sham. Nechina. Hema ra'u kentamon nibhalu nechpazu. They're going to be terrified. Nibhanu, nihpazu. And they're going to flee, they're going to run away. Re'ada achazatam sham. They're going to be filled with a trembling. Hil kayoleda. They're going to have convulsions. Kayoleda. Like a woman in birth. When the woman is giving birth, the body is shaking from the pain. They're going to be trembling like a lady that's coming with. That's referring to Gog u'Magog. Very good. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it's coming up. A beautiful Din Hashem, the Gaon Mevilna. Beruach kadim teshaber oniyot tarshish. So I'm going to give you a rule. Whenever you see Ruach kadim,
Ruach Kadim is when God's punishing the Goyim, the easterly wind is blowing. On the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the night before, it says, V'Hashem Nihag Ruach Kadim, Kol Hayom V'Kol HaLaila. The night before, the easterly wind was blowing, which eventually split the Yam Suf and the Egyptians drowned. So it says, La'atid Lavo, God's going to take out that Ruach Kadim of Mitzrayim, Beruach Kadim, and this time to Shaber Oniyot Tarshish. These might be referring to the fleets of different armies that have come from a place called Tarshish, the navy, the ships and the submarines. The easterly wind's going to come and going to blow them. To Shaber is going to break them. And then it says, Ka'asher Shamarnu, Ken Ra'inu, Be'ir Adonai Sevaot, Be'ir Eloheinu, Elohim Yechoneneha Ad Olam Tzela. Which means like this, Ka'asher Shamanu. We never saw these days yet. These days are only, we've been hearing about them. Our fathers told us about it. Our grandfathers told our fathers, our great-grandfathers passed it down. This is a tradition that we have. One day Mashiach's going to come. There's going to be a big milchama of Gog u'Magog. But to us, it's all in the ear. It's stories. It's a tradition. But on the day that it happens, it's going to be so precise. Everything that they told us is going to happen. And that's what David HaMelech says. That's going to be part of the excitement. Because until it happens, you always say, is it really going to happen like that? Is it going to really be miracles? What's going to be? Kasher shamanu ken ra'inu. The way you heard it, that's what you're going to see. Be'ir Hashem Sevaot, in the city of God, Be'ir Eloheinu. And then David HaMelech makes a prayer, Elohim Yechoneneha Ad Olam. May God establish our city, eternity, Selah, forever. So the Gaon de Vilna says over here, beautiful Chiddush. If you look in Sefer Devarim, do we have a Chumash over here? If you bring me a Chumash, a stone, I have one here, have it. I want you to see this Pasuk over here. It's in Devarim, in Perech Chavav. Oh, this Pasuk is in the Kelalot. Kitabo. Perech Chavav, Pasuk Samech Gimal, 63. Oh, long chapter of it, all the Kelalot. The good news is most of these Kelalot already happened. Most of them are behind us. So he writes over here, V'haya ka'asher sas Adonai alechem lehetiv etchem ulharbot etchem. Just like God, He rejoiced over you. Gave it in English. And it will be that just as Hashem rejoiced over you to benefit you and to multiply you, Vayaka Hashem, Sas Adonai Alechem, Netivetchem, Larbotchem, Ken Yasis Adonai Alechem, God is going to rejoice over you as well, Lehaavidetchem, to perish you, Ulashmidetchem, and to destroy you. And just like you had the good days, when God was rejoicing over you to multiply you, there's going to be the bad days where God's going to rejoice to punish you. And the way the Pasuk says it is, Ka'asher, just like God rejoiced to benefit you, Ken, so too He will rejoice over to destroy you. So the Gaon of Vilna says, those good days we never saw yet. We only saw the part of the Pasuk where God has rejoiced over us through our long exile to destroy us. We're waiting for those days that God is going to rejoice over us, that we should become blessed. So he writes, Ka'asher Shamanu. The Ka'asher part of the Pasuk that says, Ka'asher Sas Hashem Alechem Neitiv Etchem, that we never saw. The Ka'asher Shama'nu. However, Ken Ra'inu.
But the Ken part of the pasuk, Ken Yasis Hashem Alechem La'avid Etchem, that already we saw with our own eyes. Kasher, yeah, that's a dream. One day God's going to bring a redemption. Kasher Shamanu, Ken, the Ken part of the pasuk, Ra'inu. That unfortunately we saw all too well with our own eyes. Furthermore, the next pasuk. The next pasuk is very significant. Diminu Elohim Hazdecha Bekere Vechalecha. Let's explain this pasuk. How does he say it here in the English? Diminu, he's learning, we hoped. We hoped, O God, for your kindness in the midst of your sanctuary. What does that mean? The Beit HaMikdash. That's where the kindness of God comes from. But I'm going to tell you the way that Arizal explains this pasuk. We go back to the old things that we've spoken about many times. If we're repeating these concepts so many times, it's to show you how important these concepts are. So you have to... Again, whenever I start now saying it, I know what you're thinking. Oh, there he goes again. There's the same Chesbonot again. We heard this a million and one times. There's a reason why I say it a million and one times. Because these are the fundamentals that you have to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has certain names of Rahamim and certain names of Deen. One of the names of Deen is Elohim. Elohim is judgment. Whenever you see that name, Elohim, Midat Adin. Right? But we have a tradition that even in the Midat Adin, although it looks like Deen, but that's because we don't understand it. So to us, the judgment looks strict. But from God's vantage, even the Deen is Chesed. It's like a son is allergic to something. It's bad for him. And he can have a terrible reaction. And he's about to put the food in his mouth and the father smacks the kid. So to the onlooker, it looks like the father is strict judgment. But really the father is Rahamim. He saved the kid's life by hitting him. So not everything that looks bad is necessarily bad. It looks bad to us. There was a fellow, he was walking down the lobby of a building, and he heard some noise coming behind one of the doors. So he stuck his hand on the doorknob. It was locked. Strange, there's some noise, the door's locked. So he peeked into the keyhole to see what's going on. And since it's a small little keyhole, he can't see everything, but he sees a man with a knife in his hand. And he sees that there's blood, and he sees some cutting. I'm witnessing a murder. He calls 911. Come immediately. There's a guy getting killed in cold blood. The police come. They break open the door. And all of a sudden you see a doctor in a white gown. You see a patient lying on the table. And the doctor's holding a scalpel in his hand. And he's cutting the patient. The police tell the guy, you fool. That's not me. He's saving his life. He's not killing him. He said, oh, I only saw a small part of the picture. I wasn't able to see the white gown. I wasn't able to see there's a patient over there. I didn't realize this is a cutting that's going to heal. And therefore, in life, we only get to see a small piece of a picture that's much larger. The Arizal said, if we would be able to go to the Heichal is God's upper chamber, then already you'd be able to see that really all the Elohim is really Hasadim. That's why he reads the pasuk like this. Diminu Elohim. We thought it was Nidmelanu. We contrived, we thought that what? The way you're judging the world, God. Diminu Elohim. However, it's really Hasdecha. Really, the Elohim in truth is all hasadim, it's all your kindness. But where is that manifest? Bekerev echadecha. Bekerev echadecha, only where you sit. In God's kerev echadecha. That's the famous story of the Rambam. The Rambam, before he died, came to one of his Talmidim and he said, "You're going to Olam HaEmet. Take this kamiya with you." He put it in the Tachrichim. "And this kamiya will let you into all the upper Olamot. It's easy pass. And when you get to the upper Olamot, here's another paper with questions that I have. Ask the questions and come back to me in a dream and give me the answers." The guy died, they put the kamiya, they gave him the paper. A few days later, whatever it was, he came to Ramban in a dream. And he told him, "Thank you, Chacham, the kamiya worked like a charm. Wherever I went, the gatekeeper, 'Where are you going?' 'Kamiya, what? Chavot?' They let him up." He says, "But the problem is, I can't give you an answer to your questions." Ramban says, "Why?" He says, "Because to the place that you sent me, there are no questions. You sent me to a place, your questions don't even make sense. I can't answer if it's not a question. It's not a question, Bichla. It doesn't start. The place where you sent me was Bekerev Echadecha. And the Kerev Echadecha, the page that you sent me was blank. There were no words on the page. It's not even have Amira to ask a question when you sent me. That's how clear it is. Where we are, we're in the Olam Asiyah, in the lower worlds. And therefore, to us, Diminu Elohim. But really, Hasdecha. Oh, when are we going to see it? Bekerev Echadecha. That's the Arizal Pshat over here. Comes the chapter and continues. Interesting. Kishimcha Elohim. Ken tehilatecha al kasve eres, sedek malea yeminecha. Like your name, Kishimcha Elohim, ken tehilatecha. What does this mean? So he explains like this. Interesting. Kishimcha Elohim, just like your names, God, ken tehillatecha, so too are your praises. How are we explaining that? So they say like this. Just like nobody can fathom the depth of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kishimcha Elohim, we cannot fathom the depths of God. God shows us His ways through His Shemot HaKedoshim. Just like the names of God are endless, and nobody can fathom them, Kishimcha Elohim, ken tehilatecha, so too your praises are endless. We can never finish praising you. Just like we can never finish trying to understand your holy names, ken tehilatecha, so too the praises, we cannot praise you and finish the praises. Yismach Hartzion Tagenna Benot Yehuda. On that day of victory of the Gog Magog, Hartzion is going to be happy. And who else is going to be happy? Benot Yehuda. Those are all the surrounding cities. They're like the daughters of Jerusalem. Now listen to this. Lema'an Mishpatecha. Simply it means when they see the Mishpat, the harsh punishment that you're going to deliver on the Goyim, they're going to be so thrilled. The Ma'am Mishpatecha, the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I once saw an explanation to this Pasuk a little differently. Let's go again. Yismach Harsiyon. Tagelna Benot Yehuda. Simply, when is Harsiyon and Benot Yehuda going to rejoice? The Ma'am Mishpatecha, when they see the Mishpat that God is going to render over the Goyim. Another interpretation, based on the Gemara Makot. The Gemara Makot, the end, Suf Makot, a famous episode between Rabbi Akiva and Rabban Gamliel and Chachamim. They were walking in Jerusalem. This is after the destruction of the Second Temple. When they got to the Temple Mount, they saw a fox coming out of the Kodesh Kodashim. So it says, Rabban Gamliel and the rabbi started to cry. Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. So they asked Rabbi Akiva, "Mipnei ma ata tzuhek?" So he answered back with a question, "Mipnei ma atem buchim?" So they said, "We shouldn't cry. The place that the Torah says, Vehazar akarev yumat, the Kodesh Kodeshim, the holiest place in the world, that the Kodesh Kodeshim, that the Kohen Gadol goes in on Yom Kippur, so sensitive that if a foreigner goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim, Hazar akarev yumat, ve'achshav, shu'alim in lechubo, now it turned into a foxhole, and we shouldn't cry, ve'lo nefkeh." Rabbi Akiva says, "Lekach ani mitzachek." That's why I'm laughing. That's why you're laughing. Explain yourself, please. He says, because we have two sets of prophecies. We have the good prophecies for the good days, and we have the prophecies for the bad days. He said, part of the prophecies for the bad times, as was predicted, that there's going to come a time where foxes are going to walk out of the Kodesh Kodashim. Until that happened, I was skeptical if all the details of the good prophecies are going to come true. But now that I see that all the bad prophecies came true to the letter of the law, even this small contrat, this small technicality of Shu'alim and Lichubo, now I'm optimistic and now I'm confident that the good are going to come true also with all its details. Which is not that the Rabbi Akiva ever doubted the good prophecies, but sometimes the Nevi'im talk biguzma, they talk in exaggeration. So you never know, is this literal, is it exaggeration? So he says, I always thought all the good prophecies, maybe they exaggerated. Just like maybe in the bad prophecies, there was some exaggeration. But when I see that, no, they were not exaggerating. When they said it's going to be so bad that even fox is going to come out of the Holy of Holies, yeah, that's just said the, you know, Derech Guzma. But now that I see, no, that the words came true to the detail, then rest assured that even all the good things that the prophet said, they're going to come true to all the details as well. And that's why he was laughing, Rabbi Akiva. Which means you could see that you're able to laugh and get simcha even from the destruction. Even when you're standing in front of the mishpat, it can lead you to happiness. And that's what the pasuk is saying. Yismach al siyum. Tagelna benot Yehuda. From where? Lema'al mishpatecha. From the mishpat you can be happy. When you see that the destruction came true with all its details, Yismach al siyum. That's the simcha of Rabbi Akiva, tagelna benot Yehuda, from the mishpat. From the mishpat brings you simcha to the rachamim. If this came true, the rachamim will come true as well. Lema mishpatecha. That's what it means when it says. Gemara says, Ta'anit, Kol ha-metabel al Yerushalayim, zoche v'ro'e b'simchata. Ever mourns Jerusalem, merits to rejoice in the simcha of Jerusalem. So the Mefashim, all ask an obvious question. Grammatically, the statement is wrong. It should say, "Kol ha-mitabel al Yerushalayim yizke ve'yir'e," the future, b'simchata. But it says, no, zoche v'ro'e. Zoche v'ro'e is in the present. If I mourn Jerusalem, I will in the present benefit from the simcha? How in the present? In the future when they build it. No, now you'll benefit. And the explanation is that
when a person usually, bat minan, loses somebody, a loved one, God set it up in the world, after 1 year you will forget. That's the way it is. It's a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. That after 1 year people begin to recover. On the day of the funeral, the person said, I'll never dance again, I'll never eat again, I'll never laugh again. 1 year later, the eating, the dancing, to a certain extent. It's a chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Surya Dechateshi, he created Shekha. Oh. But that's only a gift if the person is dead. If the person is alive, that forgetting does not activate. That's why when Yosef HaSadiq was missing, Yaakov Avinu was mourning for 22 years. He never got over it. How come he didn't forget? Because he wasn't dead. You only forget if it's dead, but if he's alive, you don't forget. Jerusalem was destroyed about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years later, we're still mourning Yerushalayim. We build our homes, we put a special marker to commemorate Yerushalayim. We leave a place unplastered, unpainted. We go to a wedding, Yimishkachach Yerushalayim Teshkach Yibini. We break a glass to remember Jerusalem. We have Ta'aniyot, fast days across the year. Shavuot Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, the 9 days of Tisha, all halachot, and we still follow them today. Once a year we sit on the floor and read Megillat Echa. Every night people get up and read Tikkun Hatzot. The morning of Jerusalem is still alive and strong 2,000 years later. We didn't forget. What does that tell us must be? That Jerusalem never died. If we still remember Yerushalayim 2,000 years old, that must be Jerusalem is still alive and never died. And therefore, kol ha-mit'abel al Yerushalayim, if you're still mourning Yerushalayim, zocher ve-ro'eh b'simchata now, the mourning is a siman that it's alive, therefore the simcha is today. The fact that we're still mourning it shows that the Jerusalem still has a pulse. Jerusalem's heart is still beating deep down. The city is still alive. Because we would have forgotten it. Navdir. 6 or 7 years ago, they blew up the Twin Towers. The first year, was Avel Kavid. A big Avelut. The next year, smaller. Every year as it passed, it became more limited. First year, all over the country. Then only in New York. Then only on the site. You see, it gets contracted and contracted. And mark my words, like all the commemorative days of the Goyim, Memorial Day, how did it start off? Memorial Day for all the soldiers that died. The last stop on the train is always what? It starts off as a day of Avelut and ends up in a barbecue. That's the Mahalach. The first year, the soldiers die, terrible, what a terrible thing. Second year gets a little better, a little better, a little better. Over some Memorial Day, hot dogs, flying a kite, a baseball game, and nobody even knows what we're commemorating over here. All the barbecues go on sale in the stores, and everybody, what time are you having barbecue today? Everything turns into a barbecue by the Goyim. By Klal Yisrael, Tisha B'Av never turned into a barbecue. It's still just as significant and just as bitter as it was 2,000 years ago. What does that show you? That Jerusalem is alive. The patient is not dead. That's why we're not recovering so fast. Therefore, Zocher ve-ro'eh b'simchatan, that's what it means. Yisma har Tzion, Tagena benot Yehuda. When you see the judgment, when you see the avelut, when you see that Klai Yisrael didn't recover from the destruction, from all the dinim,
Mishpatecha brings you to Yismach Hasiyom Tagel Labenot Yehuda. That's where the Simcha emanates from. Rabotai, I must go be somewhere now at 8:30 to give a derasha. But I'm glad Baruch Hashem we were able to at least come and explain these pesukim Yiratzon, the zechut that we talked about, Mechamed Gog Magog. We talked about. Listen, at the end of the day, everybody lives happily ever after. According to all these books of it, we come out on top at the end of the day. Till that point, we're not sure exactly how it's going to pan out. But everybody could sleep tight knowing that Be'ezat Hashem, Am Yisrael is going to be redeemed, Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be returned to be the Armon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of us will enjoy Yefeh Nof, the wonderful air of Yerushalayim, the wonderful view. We'll be able to have true simcha, mesos kol ha'aretz. We'll be able to go to the land of joy, and this will happen in the zechut of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom that we came to study his words tonight. Now we're going to go have Melaveh Malkah Be'ezat Hashem. Zechut David HaMelech Alav HaShalom Yegen Ba'adenu, Ubad Mishpachtenu, Ubad Kehalenu, Ubad Kol Klal Yisrael. Amen.